I love these guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. We're so glad you're here with us today. Victory Wednesday, we're recording this edition of the Secondhand Lions podcast. Check us out at theshlpodcast.com. Leave a comment, rate us, and tell your friends. Well, John, it couldn't have been any more fun to be a Lions fan than it was on Monday night. What do you think?
You got that right, buddy. And there's so much we can discuss here. Let's start with this. I think we blew up some narratives. You know, the talk's been, well, Lions lost their two coordinators. What are they going to do? You know, they got this young line. What are they going to do? And I think we just blew that up. And Bill, there's so much we can look at. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. And of course, Johnny Moe, he called an amazing game. But let me go to you for, I mean, there's so many things to highlight. Why don't you kick off highlighting the offensive side of the game?
Well, the first thing that I want to talk about is that opening drive, because Baltimore had a chance to have the ball first, and they deferred, which most teams do. And sometimes that's a mistake, because the Lions just took the ball. They went right down the field, scored a touchdown, and they were off and running. So Baltimore was sort of playing from behind for most of the first half. They finally caught up and went ahead in the beginning of the second half, but the running game was just outstanding. And I want to point out a couple of things. The offensive line, which was much maligned after the Green Bay game. And then they did great against Chicago, but everybody was a little, you know, tempering their comments then, because it's Chicago. They're not any good. And so we didn't know, well, are the Lions, they haven't figured out, or they were playing the Bears. But everybody thinks the Ravens are a great team, and they just handled them. They 224 yards running. Tate Ratledge, what a game. Rookie guard out of Georgia, and he had a very high rating. I was reading about that, and I was just thrilled with the running game. 224 yards running, Montgomery 151 yards running, and two touchdowns, and that's his that's his personal best in terms of yards from scrimmage. And Goff, no sacks. He had time. Williams made a couple of nice catches in the first drive. But then after that, he didn't get another touch, but he was blocking his tail off the whole game. So I think what you mentioned about the coordinators, we can put that to rest. One thing I did notice about Johnny Moe is he sits up in the press box and calls the game, as opposed to Ben Johnson, who was on the sideline. Either way you do it is fine, as long as the product is effective, and it certainly was on Monday night.
Yeah, man, I agree with all of that. You know, you're talking about the rushing yards. That 224 yards, it was almost 6 yards a carry and produced four touchdowns. And the Ravens only had about 83 yards rushing, which is really amazing. We'll get to the defense. But, Bill, the PFF grades, you mentioned Ratledge, a rookie, third game in the NFL. He was the second highest PFF score. And, folks, that means professional football focus. Every single player is rated on every single play, every single game, as a way to measure their productivity. He was number two for the offense. Bill, I don't know if you saw number one, Penei Sewell. His rating was right around 99.
I saw that.
I think his pass run blocking was over 99. And overall, he was over 98. That is absolutely. In fact, I saw a stat that's the highest PFF rating ever given to a right tackle. So incredible. Bill, I think our two guards are just, they just punish you. It was just phenomenal watching that offensive line. And, you know, you don't go 96 yards and 98 yards without that. Those are two different drives. And, Bill, I think that time of possession, the Lions' time of possession was about 6 minutes more than the Ravens. And I know we talked about one way to combat Lamar Jackson is keep him off the field. That's what
Right.
those long drives do. And then, Bill, how about the two trick plays?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love the pitch from Saint. So Goff gives it to Saint Brown, pitches it to Saint Brown. By the way, they mentioned the detail. That pitch came where the ball came in a way that Saint Brown didn't even have to twist it. He was able to
Right, he
catch it.
handed it off up and down. Yeah, that was
Yeah,
great.
right. It was kind of a handoff. That allowed Saint Brown to immediately get it out to Jahmyr Gibbs, who easily scored. So that was one. The other one was when Montgomery threw it across the field to Goff, who then threw it up the field to, I believe, Laporta.
Think it was. Was it Laporta? I thought it was St. Brown.
St. Brown, yeah, I guess it was. But that was a bit of a trick play. So, and I got to
Well, I
give.
think what they intended on that, John, is they were looking for a home run, but when Goff got the ball, instead of forcing it, because it wasn't there, he checked it down to the shorter route, which was about a 15 to 20 yard gain.
You're right. Yeah, I think they mentioned that too, the broadcast. And that was just a great play. And Bill, just one more thing I want to comment on the offense. I think Hank Fraley, the offensive line coach, everybody's so high on him. But I said at the beginning of this season with the new offensive line, he was an X factor. And I just think that's showing up. Bill, this game was won first and foremost in the trenches. And you said it, Goff did not get sacked. When Goff is not pressured, he's the best in the game at throwing the
Yeah,
ball. So,
he is. One
anyhow.
other thing I want to mention about the coordinators, John, is that I watched a lot of the talking heads afterwards because I just wanted to wipe the smug off their faces. Mine too, because I picked the Ravens. Of course, I didn't want to be right, and I'm glad I wasn't, but one thing that was mentioned multiple times by several different people is that this is Dan Campbell's team. They lost their coordinators, and everybody was sort of saying, well, it was Ben Johnson's offense, and they're going to suffer after that. But this is Dan Campbell's team. It's his personality. And let me tell you something, those two fourth down calls, you have to have some cojones to make those calls. And I know Morton made the calls, but it's Campbell that's given the okay on both of those. The one, the Jahmyr Gibbs pitch, that was a thing of beauty. But the one that stunned me, and it had Troy Aikman jumping out of the booth, was the fourth and two from the 50-yard line. Everybody's expecting him to run because they've just been punishing Baltimore on the run all game long, and they thought, well, they're going to run the ball. And Baltimore thought they're going to run the ball. And St. Brown got a step on the defender, and Goff, perfect pass over the shoulder. And you could hear Aikman yelp almost in the broadcast booth. He was so excited about that. I don't think he could believe either that it was called or that they executed it perfectly.
Well, Bill, I think I missed Aikman doing that because I was busy yelping and jumping in my living room. That play ended the game. I mean, that finished it. So,
Yeah.
yeah. And so I think I have absolutely no concerns about Johnny Moe as the offensive coordinator sitting up there in the booth. So we can put
No, me
that one
neither.
away, I think. And let's move to the defense. I remember at the start of the year saying, when everyone thought the sky was falling because we lost our coordinators, I said, what if these two prove to be better? Now, time will tell, and no one can ever measure better necessarily, but I love that. Last year, Aaron Glenn was incredible how he patched together defense every week to win 15 games. But I got to tell you, I think Shepard's game plan just was awesome. starting with seven sacks. So
Yeah.
let me go to you. I mean, I got a list of things defensively, and I know we saw the same game, but let's start with that. Lamar Jackson sacked seven times and only running for whatever it was, maybe 35 yards. The Lions got it done. What about you?
Well, and I meant to look this guy's name up beforehand, but I forgot to do it. The Lions brought in a running quarterback for their scout team,
Malik Cunningham, and let me
Malik.
interrupt. I know of him because for a while I lived in Louisville, Kentucky for about 10 years. That's when Lamar Jackson won the Heisman at U of L, University of Louisville. Malik Cunningham came after Jackson and in a lot of ways was a similar type player. So anyhow, I had to share that.
Sure, that's fine. And what they did is they brought him in to imitate Jackson. And I forget who was talking, but on Wednesday they said he ran all over him. And they couldn't contain him. Thursday it was a little bit better that they had figured out how to contain him. And then by Friday they had it. So kudos to the coaching staff first for bringing in Malik Cunningham, and then Cunningham should have got a game ball for his efforts during the week. And it just shows the nuances and the details that these guys are willing to go to win games. And I just thought that was brilliant because they had never been able to stop Jackson before. And they bring in this guy to imitate him, and they figured it out. And boy, did they ever. I mean, he was running for his life.
Bill, there's a podcaster for Locked On Lions, part of a national podcast broadcast for all 32 teams. And the Lions podcaster, I heard him say, and he gives game balls on his show. I heard him say, my first game ball is going to a guy that didn't play. And it was exactly what you said, Malik Cunningham. So.
Wow. Well, that's impressive. So, we talked about during the game that even though they won by eight, which is a lot in the NFL, and it's a lot against a good team, Baltimore was favored by 4.5, which is a big number against the Lions, but the Lions left a lot of points on the field. And I just want to go over it a little. They won by eight. After Hutchinson forced the fumble against Derrick Henry, Hutch had, I don't know if I mentioned this, one sack, nine pressures, and a forced fumble. When he forced that fumble, I was about falling off the sofa there yelling. I think I was talking to you at the time, maybe. And anyway, then they got first down inside the four or on the four, but they got called back for a face mask penalty on Mahogany. And that put them back to the 22-yard line, and they weren't able to score a touchdown. They ended up kicking a field goal. So that's 4 points. Then Brian Branch inexplicably dropped an interception. He just doesn't do that. And Baltimore ended up scoring after that, so that's seven. And then Baltimore was third and 36, and we let the guy wriggle out of a couple of tackles to get down to a first down. And so you assume if we stop them, they don't score. That's another minus. I mean, that's 17 points that we left on the field. Could have easily won that game by more than 20. But good teams overcome mistakes. And that's what they did. Bad teams don't. Bad teams make mistakes, like Miami did against, I forget who they were playing now, against the Chiefs. Miami made a couple of mistakes, they couldn't overcome them. The Lions made mistakes, which all teams do, and yet they were able to overcome them and win the game by a healthy margin anyway against a very good team.
Absolutely. You know, Bill, as you were talking, I got thinking about, I don't think I said this last week, but I was thinking to myself, if we can win the turnovers by at least one, which we did, if we can have time of possession to keep Lamar off the field, which we did, I mentioned earlier, if we can protect Goff, which we did, no sacks, then we're in really good shape. And the Lions did do that, and that did help overcome mistakes. But man, you mentioned Hutch creating that fumble. That was such an amazing punch out. It's so good to have Hutch back. You know, Bill, one thing that gets lost in the conversation since the game, and again, I listen to different podcasters and stuff, was that goal line stand. Now, you
Oh,
wouldn't
yeah.
think any team's going to stop Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson from 3 yards out 4 times in a row. And if you break that down, on one of those plays, backup linebacker Zach Cunningham made a huge difference on two of those plays. If you go back and watch Jack Campbell, he and Cunningham on the fourth down, they sacked Jackson, forced the fumble. So here, they can't score from 3 yards out with these two studs. But here's where, Bill, I think it got lost. The Lions didn't take advantage of that. The Lions then went 3 and out.
Yeah.
And so that kind of got lost. But to me, that goal line stand was maybe the statement of the entire game.
Well, you're right that it got lost because they punted the ball and they committed a penalty. They called the punt team for holding, which never happens. It's always the
When you
receiving
see
team
that
when it
play,
gets.
it was Grant Stewart held because the guy would have gotten to the punter. He was coming
Right.
through. So.
And so they ended up with the ball at, I think, on our side of the field and ended up scoring a touchdown anyway. So it's almost like the great goal line stand was negated by that.
Right.
Just a couple of first downs there, and that changes everything. So that's another 7 points that might not have been. But I was amazed at that one drive. It started on the yard and a half. They ran 18 plays, 10 minutes and 48 seconds off the clock. Aikman again was in awe. He says, this just doesn't happen. And against anybody, much less the Baltimore Ravens. So a 98 and a half yard drive and a 96 yard drive for touchdowns. And of course, the 196 yard drive was aided greatly by Montgomery's 72 yard run.
Yeah, that helped.
Yeah, if it would have been Gibbs, he would have scored. But you got to give credit to the Baltimore D-back because he was running his tail off and he caught him.
Yeah, no doubt.
So next week, Cleveland. Are we ready to talk about them yet?
No. Just a couple things, Bill. There were so many things. I'll go fast here. But the Lions right now are 12-2 in primetime and 4-0 in Monday night games under Dan Campbell. You know, I optimistically picked the Lions for this game, and one reason was that they're so good in primetime. They're so good on the road, but I also just think their roster's so good. Secondly, Bill, I want to point out one of the plays of the game was Jake Bates making the tackle on the kickoff, where without that tackle, Raven might have gotten a touchdown on that return.
Absolutely. That was a
That
great
was
play.
huge. Secondly, Bill, or next, Bill, I looked up the Ravens player stats, And what I saw, and it's hard for me to believe it's true, but I saw this on the NFL app under player stats. They only had two ball carriers for the whole game. Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. Is that even possible?
Well,
Anyhow.
yeah, I think it is. I mean, you back up a week and or 2 weeks in the game against Buffalo, Henry ran for 187 yards, I think.
Right, but even then, I think they had another back that carried it three or four times. But anyhow, I just found that remarkable. And then, Bill, I never felt like the Raven fans and home crowd were that big of a detriment like the Packers game. Now, maybe that's because it was the first game, but I didn't really hear the crowd noise. It was never mentioned. And maybe it's because the Lions opened with a 7-point lead and the fans just never got into it. But
I think that's it. In the Packers game, the Packers were ahead early and often.
yeah, you're right.
And it's a division game.
Another comment, just Kyle Hamilton is one of the two best safeties in the NFL. I think he and Brian Branch, his name hardly got mentioned, and he sometimes is a game wrecker. So I just think I like to take notice of things like that. And
Kirby
then,
Joseph is a safety too, isn't he?
yeah, absolutely. And his name wasn't mentioned much, but he was out there with a bit of an injury. But last comment I want to make before we get to the Browns. Oh, there's several actually, but maybe next week we'll pick them up. But the Green Bay game, Bill, I feel we lost in all four phases of the game.
Yeah.
And when I say four, offense, defense, kicking game, and coaching. I think at Monday night, we absolutely won offense, defense, and coaching, and maybe tied in special teams or lost that by a little bit. But what a turnaround in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, we do have the Browns coming up. Speaking of Green Bay, the Browns won a squeaker against Green Bay that I don't think that happened again in a thousand tries, how that game unfolded. But we got the Browns clearly with a good defense and a game wrecker in Myles Garrett. Got them coming up this Sunday, so I'm ready to talk about that and make my pick.
Well, I am too, but I thought of one other thing while you were talking, and I was watching the Lions come off the field. Jared Goff was celebrating, and they had the camera on Dan Campbell's face. He was smirking. He was trying not to smile. He had a smirk on his face, like, you thought you guys were going to beat us.
I'm sorry, that was Dan Campbell had that smirk.
Yeah, what did I say?
I thought you said Danny Campbell, but I just want to make sure you meant Dan Campbell because
Yeah,
I
Dan
missed that
Campbell.
smirk. And yeah.
He had a smirk on his face. It was delicious. All right,
Game
Cleveland.
was delicious.
Cleveland has no offense. I don't know if they're going to run Flacco out there again, but they don't have an offense, but they have a heck of a defense. So the thing that would concern me about Cleveland is that the Lions, they have a shorter week. They're coming off a very emotional game, and it's just human nature to have a little bit of a letdown. I think that it's actually to our benefit in more ways than one, but it's to our benefit that Cleveland beat Green Bay, because the coaches all week long can say, don't let this happen to us. Green
Right.
Bay took them too lightly, and they got punched. So, we're not going to make that same mistake. It's at home, which I think is much to our advantage. But you're right about Myles Garrett. He's a game wrecker, and he can change a game. So hopefully the offensive line can bow up and hold them out and not do too much damage.
So you got a score?
Yeah, I'm going to say 24 to 10 Lions.
Interesting. And folks, we don't talk about this ahead of time. We just come on here and talk. Well, I'm going 27-13. I think the Lions offense is potent enough to get 27 against a good defense. And the 13, I just figured the Browns might figure out one way to get in the end zone and end up with two field goals. But I like your score, 24-10. Although I do think, here's what I think. The Lions run right at Garrett. And Goff is great at getting rid of the ball quickly. So hopefully Garrett doesn't just turn this into a slugfest. But the overall Browns defense is good.
I, you know, 24 points is pretty low for the Lions. So for me, that's just giving credit to the Browns defense that they might be able to stymie us for a while. But, and I was tempted to say 24-3, to be honest, because I think the Lions defense might just envelop them. But, Green Bay has a good defense, and they let them beat them.
That's right. Well, you made an absolutely great point that by winning against Green Bay, now the Lions coaches can really drive home. Look, guys, you let up, and it's a loss. And I think that's a huge point. Being at home is helpful. I think the short week, you know, favors the Browns a little bit, but not all that much. So,
well, and if the Lions do win, you'll be right on track with your 3-1 in the first quarter.
Yeah, and folks, I said I think the Lions win 13 this year because if you take each of the sets of four games, Lions go 3-1 all the way through till they're 12-3. And then they beat the Bears on the last game 13-3. I'm sorry, 13-4. So. Right.
And I think it would depend on that last game. If the Lions have got locked up the first seed or something, then they wouldn't need to win it. And depends on how cold it is in Chicago in January, which has a tendency to be cold. So.
And Bill,
I'm looking forward to it. I've been able to see every game so far. For those of you that don't know, I live in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and they broadcast four different games every week. And so far, the Lions have been one of them. Of course, Monday Night Football, everybody gets that. I'll be interested to see if they show Cleveland and Detroit. I'll be checking that out. If they don't, I might have to buy the package because I'm not going to miss one. Although I should mention this, that my wife Tracy and I are going to be taking a little vacation in Prince Edward Island this weekend, so may not get to see it at all.
See if you can find a Buffalo Wild Wings in Prince Edward Island.
If they have one.
All right. Well, Bill, finally, just so everyone's aware of this, in the last two games, the Lions have scored 90 points.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah. Let's keep it up.
All right. Much more to talk about next week. Hey, folks, stay with us on this journey to a Detroit Lions Super Bowl and a Super Bowl win. That's the journey we're on here with you. So, Bill, anything else?
Just check us out at Secondhand Lions podcast.com. It's the SHL podcast.com. The SHL podcast.com. Leave a comment, give us a rating, and tell your friends about us. We'll see you next week.
Bye for now.